That was 2021, the local music from Hudson Valley composer Mark Trecca, collaborating with Walt McClements there on Radiance from his Implication album. Trecca opens for Glenn Jones Wednesday, April 6th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Jones used to play guitar with Cul-de-Sac, and Trecca is a Hudson Valley composer who works with prepared piano cassette loops and makes other experimental music. WGXC will have a live web stream of the Glenn Jones Mark Trecca show Wednesday, April 6th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Monday, March 28th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM. We'll have a report about Friday's climate rally in Albany on the WGXC Morning Show at 9 a.m., then hop on the Afrosonic Taxi with De La Somisi, Colagua, and Azukia, among others. That's at 10 a.m. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with Bossa Nova live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Threes program, this week with tracks from Rachel Shen, Sarah Manning, and Psychic Frequencies, among others. 2 p.m., there's new music from around the world on the Vital Weekly Show, including Hudson Valley saxophonist Fred Lundberg-Holm, and also from Kath Roberts, Adrian Munden, and others. 4 p.m., Kieran Riley is live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts, hosting the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 7 p.m., James Ronnie talks about international criminal law on the Law and Disorder show. And at 10 p.m., it's time for the Driftless Turmoil program with Horse Lords, Oneida, Test Department, and others on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Oh, Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I live here in Hudson, and I am also from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I live in Stockbridge, but I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're often joined by our friends Mashuda, Fatia, and Jada, but at least at this point, not today. But we're happy to be here together to talk about some books. We share some things we're reading or some things we're excited to read or some things we're writing. And we're going to get started soon. But before we do that, I just want to thank everyone who contributed to WGXC during the recent pledge drive. If you didn't get around to donating to WGXC just yet, you still can. You can sign up anytime. And WGXC is especially interested in recruiting some sustaining supporters who can give a set amount each month to the station throughout the year, some funding that we can rely on to help keep the station going and keep shows like Bound by Books on the air. But we want to say a big thank you to all of the supporters of WGXC who make everything possible. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, books. Woo! Who would like to get us started?
Who wants to go?
Well, how about Amelia? Do you have a book you want to talk about?
I have some poetry I want to talk about. I've been doing a really interesting assignment for college this week, and I want to talk about it because it's really exciting. This semester or term in college, I am taking a linguistics class where I have to analyze writing from different time periods and compare them and contrast them and all that. And I've chosen the poetry of Emily Dickinson and contrasting it with the poetry of Amanda Lovelace in the book To Make Monsters Out of Girls. And it's very interesting. I've chosen two poems that have a lot of things to do with hope. And it's very interesting to compare Emily Dickinson's very flowery language and rhyme schemes with Amanda Lovelace's poetry, which is a lot more raw, meant to portray raw emotion, possibly even negative emotion, and does not really have a poetic form in the same way Emily Dickinson's work does. It's a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun. I don't think I've ever read Amanda Lovelace.
I think she has a few books out now. The book I'm choosing from, To Make Monsters Out of Girls, is about a woman, I think Amanda Lovelace's actual experience, and I also believe that is a pseudonym. I don't think that's her actual name. It's about her experience living through and recovering from an abusive relationship, but it's all told through poetry. It's very beautiful. Even like the way the words are formatted on the page are really pretty. It kind of reminds me of Ellen Hopkins, except it actually has a happy ending. Yeah.
Good old Ellen Hopkins. Is Amanda Lovelace a contemporary poet then? Like she's still writing today or?
I think so. I think she's still publishing books. I know she has a few out right now, but yeah, she published more.
Do you have any of them that you want to share? Like any samples of poetry?
The only one I have is To Make Monsters Out of Girls, and right now it's buried in my school stuff since I'm using it for a school assignment. But at some point, possibly next week, I should definitely dig it out and remember to bring it to the show.
Great. That sounds fun. Thanks for sharing, Amelia. And we have two additional co-hosts who just entered our showroom. Our showroom, that sounds funny. Mashuda and Fatia are here. Hooray! Hi, Mashuda and Fatia.
Hi.
Do you have a book you want to talk about, either one of you?
So this is the family yearbook of all years. And this is myself when I was little. And my brother, when he was little. My brother, when his student of the month, he was little. Myself, when I was in pre-K. My brother, when he was second time he got a reward. And my sister, Mashida, and that's all.
So this is a book that you made that has pictures of all your family? That's really nice. Do you have your mom and your dad in there too?
No, my mom and my dad, I didn't find a picture of them.
Oh, maybe in the future you can add on. But for now, it's the kids. That's nice. Mashuda, did you have something you wanted to share?
So I have a poem I would like to share. Just give me a minute to pull it.
Okay.
I wish that I could make a like family photo book like Fatia is, but my mom, if you go into my mom's phone library on her phone, there are actually thousands of photos on there. My mom takes like, I don't know, a lot of photos. I try to save the space on my devices and take minimal amounts, but my mom takes so many. So yeah, I wish that we had a family book or something like that, but my mom just takes so many photos, so there's not really what I need.
Maybe you could make like a digital book. I've done those before where you like select some pictures and print them out.
Yeah.
Seems fun.
I have my photos on my devices very organized. Well, just on my iPod, because I have my own photos on there. Everything else is shared with my mom. On my iPod, it's like I have everything separated into separate albums, like pets, sister, and all that.
What if it's a picture of your sister with a pet? Where does that go? Do humans get priority?
Then I put it in both albums.
Okay. Interesting.
I found the poem. So it's Dreams by Langston Hose. So I just, I don't know, love this poem immediately just by looking at the title. I know, don't judge a book by its cover, but just Dreams spoke to me. Because I know it's a poem, not a book, but just like, I feel like that also applies to the poem. But like, I also read other poems from Langston Hose, and I don't know, dreams, like I feel like everyone has different dreams, but it motivates us. So, so it's hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is broken, winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field, frozen with snow, by Langston. So yeah. So like, I think dreams, it's like a lot of times not all dreams come true, but it gives us a hope. Because like life is so tough that we don't know what path is right and what path is wrong, but we have dream to help us. I feel like, so there's like short-term dreams and the long-term dreams. Like, I feel like dreams and goals have a correlation. So it's like that we want to achieve. So I feel like people tend to break down their dreams and their barriers to achieve things.
Georgia, you seemed pretty excited about that poem. Was that one you're familiar with?
Yeah, I was going to say, that is my favorite poem. We all memorized that in school several times when I was younger, and it's my favorite poem. So I haven't heard it in like 2 years since before COVID. So it just really made me happy to hear that one again.
It's nice. Yeah, he has some beautiful and powerful poems. We certainly have some in like collected forms, but we also have some picture books where one poem is translated into a picture book format so that the artist figures out what visuals to go along with the lines of text, which I think is really cool.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember if that's we have awesome. That one. I know we have one that's about dreams, but I don't know if it's that specific poem or a different poem. I'll have to check.
My favorite poems are both by Langston Hughes. He's my favorite poet. They're tied, maybe one a little more than Dreams. The other one is called Rain. I memorized it in third grade for our poetry reading. So I love that one. Your turn, Emily.
Oh, it's my turn. So I read a book the other day that was pretty fun, and it worked my brain in a way that not every book does. It's called Otto, a Palindrama, and it's by an author-illustrator named John Aggie, although it might be Aggie, but I think it's Aggie. I've just realized I'd never learned how to say his name. But it's a graphic novel, and according to him, it's the first palindromic graphic novel, so it's told entirely in words or phrases that read exactly the same forward and backwards. And so that's where it worked my brain, because it's not just that the words, like that it's a word that's palindromic, it's like phrases or sentences sometimes, or dialogue between two characters. And so it's a pretty weird story. And it basically starts off just like at home, and the family's about to have dinner, and the boy wants to go out and play with his dog, but his dad says, "Not now, Otto, wonton," which is a palindrome. And then they are having wonton soup, and then he stares into his soup, and all of a sudden he's transported to a beach. And then he ends up going on all these adventures that lead him all over the place. And so it's very like fantastical and bizarre, and lots of weird stuff happens. I guess he has done other books with palindromes, one of which includes a line, there's a line in the story that is the name of a different book that he had, where the character yells at somebody, "Go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog," which is the same backwards. And there's one palindrome in here that has my name in it, so that's pretty cool. It's he walks by a wall that has graffiti on it that says Emily's Sassy Lime. I feel like I need to make up some kind of dish called Emily's Sassy Lime, like a dish or a drink, or I don't know. Why not? But yeah, like at one point he's walking along, he sees a sign that has an arrow pointing one way that says no garden, and pointing the other way it says one dragon. And then he walks over this bridge and there's a dragon under the bridge, just one. He's walking along and somebody yells, "Yo boy," and there's a person in a cat suit, and they say, "Put a cat up." He says, "Huh? Put a cat up." And then they go into a house and then he says, "Stack cats, put it up. Must I? It's not a ton. So like 9 kilos? Ha. Put it up. Ooh, cats. I must achoo." So it's like, it reads kind of funny because they're all palindromes, but it actually, in its weird way, makes sense when it goes along with the pictures. Because they go into this house and there's just like piles and piles of cats on ladders and stuff.
It's so funny. I had this brilliant idea. Emily's Sassy Lime. I want to be a baker when I grow up. And I always want to come up with new ideas for cakes and drinks. So what if it... Maybe at my bakery, I'm sort of taking cake orders, but not, like, officially. Well, I did before COVID, and then COVID happened, but I'm probably going to start it up again soon. But what if at Mitley, which is going to be my all-GF bakery, already is, what if it's the Sassy Lime? So it's a limeade with a key lime cake. Fun fact, I've never had key lime pie. I've never had gluten-free key
really?
Lime pie.
I haven't had one
but
in years.
I still want to do it. Never had anything key lime. It'll be a key lime cake and a lime drink.
Sounds like a lot of lime.
Or no, instead, I should do something I'm more familiar with. I've made a orange zest cake before, so instead I'll make a lime cake. Vanilla lime. I love doing those. I just did it with orange and cinnamon. But I'll do it with, it'll be a base vanilla, then a bunch of lime zest, then I'll have a swirl of green food coloring in it, so it'll be like a lime swirl.
So what's the sassy part?
That might not work.
I think that's the trick, is figuring out what makes it sassy.
Well, it's just a cool name. Emily's Sassy Lime. I'll be like, this is inspired by my dear, dear friend, Emily.
Lovely. I can't wait to eat it. Just make it vegan so I can eat it. An extra challenge has to be gluten-free, vegan, and sassy lime-filled.
I'll check.
I mean, I don't need it to be gluten-free, but I know you cook gluten-free.
Everything I bake is gluten-free. This, I get a lot of recipes from here. I have one vanilla.
And what's that book?
Cake recipe in here. That I turn into any flavor other than chocolate. I can turn it into really anything. So it is the complete cookbook for young chefs, and it's by America's Test Kitchen. So it's really good. Let's see. oh, it has butter and milk in it.
Those can be substituted.
Yeah.
Cool.
Milk is easier. Butter's hard. Actually, wait, no. There's vegan butter, obviously. I used to use it all the time back when I thought that I was allergic to dairy. But I was really allergic to gluten.
Surprise.
So, yeah. I could easily... Wait, does it have egg? It probably has egg, too.
There's substitutes for that, too.
Yep, 3 large eggs. Okay, that
Oh, that's a lot of eggs. But yeah, but there are substitutes. But anyways.
Yeah, it's definitely
time to figure it out.
Friendly recipe. I'll try.
But anyways, while you're talking about things, what do you have to talk about this week?
So, it's this book that I was originally going to read for school, but then I found out we only need to read one. So, I chose something else, but honestly, now I wish that I chose this one. I wasn't super excited about this, but oh my gosh, I just was looking for something new to read, because everything else is like older classics, or I've tried it and didn't like it, or just stuff that isn't exciting to me, or I've just already read everything. Mostly I've just read everything on my bookcase. So I picked this up, and it is an incredible book. I totally recommend it. This might even be my new favorite. So this is called Path to the Stars. It's by Sylvia Acevedo. Path to the Stars, My Journey from Girl Scout to Rocket Scientist. And it's just an amazing book. So it's this girl. It's an autobiography, completely autobiographical. It's like a memoir. It goes from when she's really little to when she's an adult. And she's had some really sad moments in her childhood. She grew up living in poverty in New Mexico and in a Latinx family, and she had a really hard childhood, but like, she's just amazing. I love her. So I'll read the description. While Sylvia Acevedo's friends played with dolls and dresses, she played with numbers and counted sidewalk squares in Spanish and English. Her loving mommy couldn't guess where her daughter's curiosity would take her, but she supported Sylvia and helped her learn. And when Sylvia joined the local Girl Scouts, her troop leader encouraged her fascination with science and the stars. Unconventional in her interests, but determined to pursue them, Sylvia launched herself from the dirt streets of La Cruces, New Mexico, to become one of the first Latinx to graduate with a master's degree in engineering from Stanford University. A barrier-breaking rocket scientist and more, she is now CEO of the Girl Scouts of the USA. With her signature warmth and encouragement, Sylvia shares her remarkable story in these pages. And on the back, it has a cute photo of her when she is a brownie, and that has a photo of her now CEO of the Girl Scouts USA. So it's an incredible book. Totally would recommend it. Might even be my favorite book. And it's not one of those, like, a lot of books. I checked the price tag, and it's like $20, and I'm like, but this one's $9.99, so that's good. I mean, that's still expensive for a book, but it's better. I feel like books should be free reading to the mind. Or at least they should be really cheap.
That's what libraries are for.
True. But then don't you have to pay to get a library card?
No. Okay. To get a library card?
Oh, right.
No, you only have to pay if you don't bring the stuff back, ever.
Right.
Let's back
I don't know
our
where
books.
I got that from. I have no idea where I got that. You have to pay for a library card thing from. I have no idea.
They're free.
Oh, right. It's from, so in the book, her mom makes her, not her brother, but just her, save up $5 to pay for stuff if she loses it, because her father thinks that she's going to break everything. That's where that came from.
Does okay. she? Does she break everything?
No.
So he was wrong.
Not at all. Very. Wow. And it's really sad. Like, her little sister gets... Okay.
Avoiding spoilers. But there's some sad parts.
Oh, well, okay. I'll stop now. I'm going to spoil everything.
Okay. So remind our listeners the name of the book and the author.
It's Path to the Stars by Sylvia Acevedo.
You can check it out